Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hi there, I'm Alicia, and I'm so glad you can join me today. This 64th episode actually marks the last of season 5. We've officially celebrated our 1-year anniversary on the podcast. Woohoo! And I have some exciting stats to share with you later in this episode. But back to season 5. This season, each guest came on and talked about the one thing that we need to know about blank. 12 different experts and or entrepreneurs came on and they spoke in detail about a particular topic and how it relates to curing back office blues. A common thread was leadership and communication. And when I thought about it, I said, you know, that makes sense because both are needed as we guide our teams through growth spurts. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I close out each season with a monologue. And so today I thought I'd share with you the one thing you need to know about process improvement. And I'm going to say this now, get it out the way. I am suffering with seasonal allergies, so please bear with me. I promise I'll provide some really great content for you this episode. But if I sound a little nasally or my throat is scratchy, it's because I'm dealing with these seasonal allergies. Okay, now back to the topic at hand. Again, I'm going to share with you the one thing you need to know about process improvement. And as I do that, I'm going to reference the different episodes from this season, all of which you can find at businessinfrastructure.tv. If this is your first time listening, let me tell you a little bit more about myself. My career began in chemical engineering many moons ago, where I worked as a process engineer at different oil refineries and chemical plants in Louisiana, which is where I'm originally from. This is actually where my subject matter expertise in processes began. So my expertise in processes began on the manufacturing side. And once I relocated to Atlanta, Georgia back in 2005, hard to believe it's been 14 and a half years, I discovered that Atlanta is landlocked and chemical engineers need to be near water. So I had to find a way to apply those process engineering principles to business. Long story short, I started a company called Equilibria, where the focus is on developing business infrastructure for fast-growing small businesses. Business infrastructure is a system for how you link your people, processes, and tools to ensure growth happens in a profitable and sustainable way. Now, as you listen to that definition of business infrastructure, you heard the word processes. Processes are definitely a major part of that equation. And just to define a process, a broad definition that I like to use is that a process is nothing more than the sequential order of steps to convert an input into an output. So whatever your desired result is, that's your output. And your inputs are, it could be raw materials if we're talking about a physical product. It could actually be other things that you're doing in terms of service if you are actually in a producing or service or providing a service. The one thing that you need to know about process improvement is that it is continuous. It's not a one and done. It's not static. It's very dynamic. And I go through this conversation a lot when I'm talking to people about processes, especially when they tell me that they want to create an operations manual. Just as an example, they think that these operations manuals, once you create them, they just kind of sit on a shelf and then you're done with it. But that's not true, because your processes involve or incorporate the use of other people or leveraging of other people, different types of technologies and tools and equipment. And those things are constantly changing, evolving, upgrading. So it only makes sense that your process would have to change, evolve, and upgrade along with that. As an example, I'm going to talk you through each season of this podcast. We're wrapping up season 5, and I'm going to explain to you how I've made improvements incrementally across each season. Okay, so season 1 of the Business Infrastructure Podcast actually began in June 2018. That's where this whole journey originated. I was just starting out, testing the waters. Someone suggested I do a podcast, and I was like, I don't even know the first thing about putting together a podcast. I was simply a consumer of podcasts, not a producer. And I remember I was working with a coach at the time, and he set everything up for me. I don't know the name of the platform that he was using. I just know that we were using a phone line to actually record the podcast sessions, and then he would kind of take care of everything from that point and then simply upload the podcast. I did not have access to the platform that was being used to host the podcast. I was just simply providing the content, providing the guest. And then he kind of took care of everything from that point. And the interesting thing about a podcast, and a lot of people don't realize this, as podcasters, we don't know who we're talking to. We just put information out there. We have an idea of who we want our target audience to be, but we don't actually know who you are. And that's why, if you're listening, that's why it's so important to leave reviews, because unless you actually reach out to us as podcasters, we don't know who you are. We don't know if the content that we're providing is good, if it's sufficient, if it's meeting your expectations. We don't know unless you tell us. So if you're listening, for all the podcasts that you listen to, make sure you go and give each of those podcasts a review. So moving on into season 2, I was actually interviewed on Doug Sandler's podcast. And you may remember Doug from episode 56 because he specifically came on and talked to us about the one thing we need to know about podcasting. Now, what was interesting about me being interviewed on Doug's podcast, I went on his podcast to specifically talk about my book because my book had just come out. This was around, I think, October, November of 2018. And as a result of the conversation that Doug and I had on his podcast, he said, you know what? I see what you're trying to do with your podcast. And he actually introduced me to even more podcasting tools that I wasn't aware of. And I was able to start improving the actual production process, the way I was actually recording my podcast interviews. Remember, in season 1, I was just using a phone line. But starting forward with season 2, I started using Zoom. And Zoom is free up to, depending on how you're using it, there are more advanced features that you can actually pay for. But he was like, hey, just start using Zoom. And I was already familiar with that tool. And so that's what I started doing. One thing that I always encourage people that I work with when I'm helping them with their processes is to think of your overall process that you're trying to improve, segment it into stages. So as I looked at my overall podcasting process, I realized there were three main stages. There's the pre-production, all of the stuff that's taking place to get ready for a particular episode. There's the actual production stage, which is what's taking place during the actual interview. And then there's the post-production stage of the podcasting process. All of the things that are taking place once the interview is over and we're trying to promote it and get it uploaded to different sites and things of that nature. It wasn't until I applied for a podcasting program sponsored by Google that I realized I needed to add even more structure across the board to my overall podcast. So as a result of filling out that application to participate in that podcast program, I realized I needed to switch platforms. So remember, I was telling you in season 1, I didn't know what platform it was being distributed on. I just knew that it was being pushed out to Apple Podcasts, Google Play. I knew the distributors of the podcast, but I didn't know what platform was actually hosting my podcast, because I had someone who was taking care of all of that for me. So remember in episodes 55 and 63, where I spoke to Des Thornton, and Des spoke very specifically about having high stakes conversations, and Liz Kislick in episode 63 spoke about delivering difficult news. Well, I realized that once my contract was up with this coach that I was working with, I wasn't going to renew the contract, because I had absolutely no control over what was going on with my podcast. Again, I was producing the content, and it was very helpful to have someone helping with the editing and all of the other things that needed to take place pre and post production. But not being able to access data when I needed it, and being questioned as to why I wanted access to the data. Can you imagine that? It just wasn't working for me. And I didn't realize how much of an issue that was until I started filling out this particular application. So moving on into season 3, I started to add even more definition and structure to the podcast itself. I said, okay, now that I've filled out that Google podcast program application, I realized I have to be honest and tell you, it wasn't intentional in the beginning, but now it definitely is. But my seasons actually kind of align with the four seasons of the year. So each season of the podcast consists of 13 episodes, 12 of which are interviews with different subject matter experts, entrepreneurs, and executives. And the last episode of each season is a monologue, kind of like what I'm doing right now. So that was the actual structure moving forward. I was also able to focus more on the post-production part of the process. Started getting really good about how I was promoting the different guests that appear on the podcast. And I worked very closely with Marie Incontrera, and you'll remember Marie from episode 54, because she came on and spoke to us about the one thing we need to know about social media. So Marie and I actually work together. Her company helps me a great deal with the social media and the promotional aspects of promoting each podcast episode. So now that I'm several episodes in at this point in season 3, I was starting to gain my stride. I was finding my voice in the podcasting space. And the way I was able to do that was because at this point, people were actually starting to reach out to me through platforms like LinkedIn or Twitter. Sometimes people would actually send me an email and say, hey, you know, I heard that episode that you did on blank, and it was really helpful because I'm actually dealing with this situation right now in my company. So the more I started getting feedback like that, I said, aha, okay, now that I know specifically who some of the listeners are, I can tailor the way I speak on the podcast even more. So I loved when Josh Carey in episode 59 of this season came on and talked about the importance of finding your voice. Because once you can find your voice, and once you know who you are talking to, oh my gosh, it just opens up so many opportunities for you to become even better at whatever it is that you're trying to do, whether it's a product that you're producing, a service that you are providing or delivering. You can only become better once you've found your voice and you can actually lead your team through those changes. Now going on into season 4, I was starting to get a lot better at the pre-production stage of my podcasting process. And let me explain. This is something that you as a listener have no idea about, but there's this whole thing that I go through in booking the different guests for each season. what was happening up to the point of season four, it could take a while for me to find these different guests. In the beginning, the guests were all people that I, from my personal network, people that I can personally vouch for, people that I know. But again, as the podcast started to gain popularity, different podcasting or booking agents started contacting me directly. Different people specifically who wanted to be interviewed started reaching out to me directly, and that was a great thing. But I didn't have a streamlined way of kind of working them through a pipeline to getting them actually interviewed on the process, excuse me, on the podcast. So by season four, I had that pre-production process pretty nailed down, and I was able to actually book all 12 guests in season four within 1 week. Talk about a streamlined process, whereas before, I could be in literally into the 12th week of a particular season, and I'm scrambling trying to find a guest. So that was a beautiful thing to be able to have everyone booked and lined up in 1 week. And I didn't realize it until Eric Lang in episode 53 came on and spoke about the one thing we need to know about product prototyping. He talked a lot about the design thinking model. And I said, you know what? Without realizing it, that was actually a method that I use to improve that pre-production process. Another major development that happened during season four is I started a relationship with Business Radio X. And if you aren't familiar with Business Radio X, they are the fastest growing business radio platform in the United States. They're based in Florida, I believe, and they have different franchises across the United States. Well, once I started my partnership with them, that significantly raised the profile of the podcast, giving us even more exposure. And at that point, I realized again, I needed to switch to yet another podcasting platform. And so now the podcast is officially hosted on Libsyn. So it took me three times before I got it right. But that's the beauty of having a small business. You have that agility that larger organizations don't necessarily have, and you can adapt and make changes fairly quickly. And this is really what Roger Nierenberg was getting at in episode 52 when he came on and spoke about the one thing we need to know about organizational agility. Now, you may be wondering, well, Alicia, why keep switching from platform to platform? Here's the thing that you need to know about digital data. Not everyone measures the same data the same way. Some platforms will tell you this particular week your podcast was downloaded X number of times. Other platforms will tell you this particular week this is the number of times your podcast was played. There's a difference between playing an episode and downloading an episode. And you have to get clarity on what number it is you want to report. Okay? So I knew going into this, by season two, I would say, I knew that eventually I wanted to figure out a way to monetize the podcast. And the best way to monetize the podcast would be to have some type of proof of concept. What's the best way to have proof of concept? To have numbers to justify that you do have a growing audience. Okay, so I needed to go to a platform that was going to be able to provide me with statistical data that other platforms simply weren't able to provide. And now we're at season five, wrapping it up, 1 year anniversary of the podcast. And as much fun as I was having podcasting, the reality is that the overwhelming majority of us podcasters, we don't make money from our direct money from our podcast per se. And this can be heartbreaking because you put a lot of time, effort, and as you're listening to me, I take this podcast very seriously. I'm constantly tweaking it, making changes to the process incrementally, season by season. And that can be heartbreaking when there's no income coming in as a result of all of your hard work, all of this promotion that you're doing, all of this effort that you're putting in to making sure that you book the absolute best guests who are going to come on and share resources with your listeners. And this, left unchecked, it really can make you very depressed. I'll just be very honest with you, because you enjoy what you're doing, yet you're not making any money. So you come to a crossroads where you're like, okay, do I quit the podcast? And now people will no longer have access to these different guests and the resources that they provide? Or do I figure out how I can seriously try to start monetizing the podcast? And this is kind of what Silky Glob was touching on when she spoke about mental health and entrepreneurship, because mental illness is on the rise, especially amongst entrepreneurs, because we work so hard and we don't always see the fruits of our labor as quickly as we'd like to, if ever, to be honest with you, in some instances. Go back and take a listen at episode 60, because I thought it was so important that that topic be discussed, because it's something that we all experience and have maybe different bouts of anxiety, some different levels of depression, but we don't always really talk about that. But it is really important. So now at the end of season 5, we have proof of concept. We have the numbers. We are actively seeking sponsorships. I've been meeting with other people in the podcasting industry, attending different conferences, and it's only going to get better. And you're going to see and experience all of these changes that I've been educating myself on throughout season 5. You're going to start seeing a lot of that being implemented in season 6. And when I say see it, I'm being very literal. You're not going to just hear the changes, you're also going to be able to literally see some of the changes. And that's just a hint. You'll have to wait until season 6 to see what I'm actually talking about. Throughout all of this, I've realized how important it is to stay true to the mission, which is to provide you with access to resources to help you actually navigate fast growth in your company. Doing business with a conscious perspective, doing business consciously and intentionally. So no matter what changes are made, I'm always making sure that it just helps us deliver our promise or maintain our promise to you as the listener. And this is what Corey Blake was talking about when he spoke about the one thing we need to know about conscious capitalism in episode 57. Do business with integrity. No matter how large it gets, you can still maintain those principles. And so now here we are, wrapping up season 5, going into season 6, complete with all kinds of new changes. One of the improvements that I can tell you about is that we will be including some data privacy clauses. I was really psyched and motivated to implement this into the businessinfrastructure.tv website after interviewing Jody Daniels in episode 58. And another change is I'm starting to build a team now. So we have some editors, some graphic designers. We already had the people helping us with promotion. But now that we have proof of concept, we're seeking out these sponsors, we can build the team. And honestly, this is all a part of my legacy building strategy. And this is what both David Shavzin and DeShonda Charles were talking about in episodes 61 and 62, where they spoke about the importance of having an exit plan and an estate plan, respectively. Now that you've heard me give that example of how I use continuous process improvement to improve the podcast, here are some resources that I recommend that you can leverage to streamline processes in your company. Let's talk about it in terms of people, process, and tools. So starting off with people, here's the thing. My first recommendation would automatically be to seek out Lean Six Sigma consultants. But what you will find oftentimes is that people with Lean Six Sigma certification are not likely to work with smaller companies. But all hope is not lost, because there are also technical writers, there are process analysts, there are all kinds of people out there that say they can, and some can actually help you improve your processes. To help break down exactly who you need, I'm going to put an article directly on businessinfrastructure.tv in the show notes for this episode that actually breaks down all of these different types of people and when you may actually want to leverage their different skill sets, because not all process improvement consultants are created equal. And so I have an article where I kind of break down where their special skill sets are, and hopefully you can leverage that to figure out exactly who you may want to use to help you streamline some of your company's processes. The process itself that I use, and you can probably apply this to your particular process as well. So the specific process that I use for continuous improving of the podcast and how it's delivered to you all is, it's really in five main steps. So the first thing that I do is I'm constantly gathering intel. I'm gathering all of this information throughout a particular season. Because remember what I said at the beginning of the episode, I make my changes incrementally. So I don't make changes as I hear about things. I kind of gather all of this information from a variety of resources throughout a particular season. And as that season is wrapping up is when I move on to step two. I'm doing my research and I'm also figuring out how to implement a group of changes at one time. Okay? So first step, gather intel. Second step, do the research. Third step, actually implement changes based on your research and that intelligence that you've gathered. And then fourth, you want to actually test it. You want to make sure that whatever metric it is you're trying to improve, so in my case, I'm constantly trying to improve the cycle time that it takes to land guests. I'm also trying to improve the way we promote the show. I'm also trying to improve the stats, the downloads, the number of plays. All of those are different metrics that I'm constantly trying to improve. And as I make tweaks to the different stages of the podcasting process, I'm constantly having those metrics in the back of my mind. The fifth step is once you've done that, you've researched, you have implemented, you've tested these changes, now you're constantly tracking it, what improvements can you continue making? So you basically go through that cycle all over again, starting with the gathering of more intelligence. If you want to learn more about how you can actually not only document, but first of all, just identify what processes you may actually need to improve in your company, I highly recommend you get my book. In particular, read Chapter 8, because Chapter 8 is all about processes. The name of my book is Behind the Facade: How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. It's going to give you a step-by-step, formulaic, tried and tested method for actually identifying and capturing all of your processes. The book is available anywhere books are sold, so including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all of the major bookstores anywhere in the world. As far as tools that I recommend, the reason I have not rolled out changes as they come is because I'm all about consistency. So if I start an episode in a particular season, and let's say I learn about a new tool that I can start using, I want all of the shows within that particular season to be delivered consistently. So even though I'm constantly gathering this intelligence, I'm doing my research throughout a season, and I'm figuring out how I can improve it, I don't actually make those changes until the next season, because I want every single show to be delivered the same way. And I know that you as a listener can appreciate that, that, you know, you when you come to this podcast, you know what you're going to get, especially if you're within a particular season. There's another book that I would like to recommend, and it's called The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. I love this book, and there's one particular law that I always tell my clients about, and that is the 45th law. And it basically, I'm probably paraphrasing here, but it basically says, preach the need to change, but never reform all at once. So, again, this is all about making gradual, incremental improvements over an extended period of time, constantly changing, constantly evolving, but not making all of those changes so abruptly to where it's a shock to the system of the people that you are trying to serve. Another tool that I use is meetup.com. This is, I think people underestimate the value in tools like Meetup, because what I have found is a whole large community of other podcasters just using Meetup. I found out about this really large podcasting conference that took place in Orlando, Florida. It's actually called the Podcast Movement Conference. I would not have found out about that had it not been for a Meetup group of podcasters in my community. So go to meetup.com. Whatever it is that you're trying to improve, whatever industry that it is that you're in, whatever special interest you may have, you can likely find a group of people through that website who also have the same things that they're trying to address as well. It's a great way to start meeting up with people. Now, if you actually have questions about improving a very specific process, or if you want to work with me directly, I would love to have the opportunity to work with you. There are multiple ways that you can get in touch with me. One way is to follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Just look for Alicia Butler Pierre. That's A-L-I-C-I-A. Last name, B like boy, U-T-L-E-R. P like Paul, I-E. RRE. You can also request a one-on-one personalized phone consultation with me by going to businessinfrastructure.tv and clicking on the contact form. When you click on contact, you'll actually be routed to a form that you'll fill out, and from there we'll set up a date and time to actually talk. I'm going to have links to all of the information that I referenced in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. While you're there, make sure you pay attention to the homepage if you haven't been to the site before. You'll be able to see all of our stats. As of today, September 22nd, 2019, we have just over 307,000 impressions on this podcast. That is amazing. And when I say impressions, that includes both plays as well as downloads. We've had 64 episodes, 53 guests, and together my guests and I have recommended a combined 369 individual books, articles, websites, professional organizations, videos, as well as other podcasts to assist you in your daily operations. We are sticking true to the mission of this podcast, which that's what it's all about, sharing resources with you. Again, make sure you go to the homepage of businessinfrastructure.tv and you can see all of that information. And by the way, that data in terms of number of resources that are being shared, that's actually updated every week. Thank you so much for helping to spread the word and share access to these resources. Don't forget to download all 13 of season 5 episodes and share this with people in your network that you think would also benefit from this information. The great thing about podcasts is that you can listen to them on your commute to or from work. Next week, we'll actually do a replay of an episode to give you a refresher on business processes And in the spirit of continuous improvement, we're going to kick off season 6 on Sunday, October 6th, 2019 at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. This season is going to be all about profitable processes. We're going to have a new batch of guests come on, and they're going to share processes that they've either implemented within their company or for one of their customers that increase profitability. And I promise you, you do not want to miss it, because this will contain even more information that you can leverage to make improvements in your own company's processes. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being patient with me as I kind of work through my allergies here and trying to get this podcast out to you. Remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.